This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
The halacha shiur tonight is, of course, based, connected to this week's parsha. This week's parsha, Parshas Yisro, has the Aseres Adibros, and in at number five is, of course, Kabed Esovicho Vesimecho. So what I want to do tonight is discuss the parameters of Kibud Av Ve'Em. Not just what Kibud Av Ve'Em is, but what it isn't. When is it, does it not apply? I should preface this shiur by saying two things. Number one, it's a 15-minute shiur. It's a very short halacha slot, and therefore it's impossible to cover everything. It's just an overview of some of the issues. And number two, very importantly, I'm not paskening. This is a very complicated area. And generally in these halacha shiurim, you should consult your own halachic authority. In particular, with Kibud Av Ve'Em and some of the topics we're going to be discussing, it's quite sensitive and it's delicate, and you need to tell a rav the specifics of any given situation. Okay, having said that, let's press on. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, what exactly is Kibud Av Ve'Em? We know there are two aspects to it. There is Mora and there is Kibud, two very different things. Mora, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I'm in paragraph two. If you're listening online, please do email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Meira says, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, based of course on the Gemara, is that it's reverence, that a person shouldn't sit in a parent's seat or a certain couch, a setting where they normally sit in the dining room table or something like that, or in shul or anything like that. Of course, they can be meichel, or they shouldn't contradict a parent. They should even side with the parents. If parents having let's say a father is talking to another person, having some sort of debate, and you pipe in and you say, I think my dad's right. That's considered irreverent. That is Meira. Kibud is the more physical aspects of things. The Kitzur says, Ezel kibud machilo mashkehu malbish mechase machnis umoitzi, which means, machilo means you give him to eat. Any parents, you've given food, you give him drink, you clothe them, you help with transportation. When I talk to my students in school, it's the sort of things that parents often do for children. Giving them to eat, clothing, transportation. As parents get older, the pendulum swings. And of course, it sometimes goes the other way. But that is the real halacha of kibud. Kibud is physical benefit to the parents. So that is meira, that is kibud. Now we know what meira and kibud are. What isn't it? So the Gemara in Bav Metzia, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, tells us that it is forbidden to listen to parents if they tell you to violate something in the Torah. The Gemara says, Minayin shim omalei oviv. If parents tell a child to violate, the Gemara gives examples, a certain Torah prohibition, you don't listen to them. Shenemar, as it says, Ish imay v'aviv tiro, v'shapsoy saik tishmoy ram yashem, kulchem chayovim bichloidi. And the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who told you not to break Shabbos, for example, told your parents the same, and therefore your parents cannot tell you to break a halacha. This applies even to a mitzvah derabbono. The Rambam says clearly in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Beis, Afilu Shel Divrem, even if it's a mitzvah midrabbono. The question is, an interesting area, is what about minhagim? What about chumras? How does that work? Say, for example, I sometimes get this question in school. A child very earnestly comes up to me and says they want to take on a certain chumra, maybe Cholav Yisrael. They want to grow a beard, for a boy wants to grow a beard or wear a gartel or something like that. What is the story? The parents don't want it, he wants it, etc., etc. So there's a fabulous sefer, it's called The Fifth Commandment by Moshe Lieber, where he brings a lot of these psakim of contemporary poskim, and he says, in the name of Rabbi Yasha, a very interesting psak, he says that if the minhag or the chumrah has a firm basis in halacha, then it has the same status as a drabon and as a deraisa. And technically, one does not have to listen to parents. And therefore, if a guy wants to keep Cholav Yisrael, or she wants to, and the parents don't want to, then one is allowed to do that. Cholav Yisrael is very rooted in halacha. It has a firm basis. Of course, it is okay not to. There is the Ramosha, etc., etc. But even Ramosha says, Bal Nefesh Yachmir, or whatever the Chumrah may be. If it has a firm basis in halacha, then it's okay. However, and I often tell the students this, you've got to act b'chochma. Is now the right time to take this on? Maybe when you go to yeshiva, when you go to Sam, or something like that. So one has to act b'chochma, and it's important to get guidance for the specific situation at hand. But technically speaking, says Rabbi Yashav, if the minhag or the chumrah has a firm basis in halacha, then one that then and one you know would enhance one's own Yiddishkeit and ruchnius, then technically one is allowed to do that, even if they're despite the parental objection. Now, a couple more areas which often is quite contentious is that of Torah study and marriage. What do I mean? The Shulchan Aruch says, what happens in a situation when parents don't want a son, for example, to go to a certain yeshiva, and the son is adamant that he would find success in that yeshiva? How do you balance that desire for Talmud Torah against Kibud Av V'Em? So the Shulchan Aruch says, first of all, in Reish Mem, Sifrit Gimel, in Yerodea, Talmud Torah Godol Mikibud Av V'Em. Furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch says, Talmud Shereitz L'Aleches L'Mokum Acher. A student wants to go to a certain yeshiva to learn. He's confident that he'll see success in that place. Because he's drawn to that particular Rav, Rosh Shiva. And the father protests. Then in that particular town, there are some non-Jewish people who might upset him, who might scoff, who might hurt him. He does not need to listen to his parents in this respect. Furthermore, says the Ramah, the same is true when it comes to marriage. V'chein, says the Ramah, if a parent protests against the choice of partner of his son, their son, you don't need to listen to the parents. So, with regard to Talmud Torah, or with regard to a choice of partner in life, says the Shulchan Aruch, one does not have to listen to a parent. Now, what is the svara for that? Why? So the Ramah quotes the Maharik. If you look at the Maharik gives three svaras why the child does not have to listen to the parents. The first svara is that kibud av is mishal av. What does that mean? If a parent says to a child, go to kosher kingdom and please buy me a loaf of bread and a pint of milk. Who pays? So the Gemara presents two sides. Maybe it's mishal av, maybe it's mishal ben, maybe it's the parents, maybe it's the kids. But the Gemara concludes that it's mishal av, which means that a child's obligation is to go and to be machil the parents, to feed the parents, as we discussed, and to clothe them and to transport them. But the actual cost of that comes from the parent. So you can put it on the parent's bill and then go pick up the milk. You don't have to pay for it yourself. Therefore, says the Maharik, just as a child is not obligated to suffer financial loss for kibud av v'em, well, so too, the child doesn't have to bear personal suffering by not marrying the partner of his choice. That's like an emotional suffering. And therefore, that's the first rationale of the Maharik. The second one is, interestingly, the Maharik says that parents can't tell the children to transgress a Torah law, as we've discussed above. Therefore, by extension, the Torah, and we said even in Issa Rabbanim, the Torah and Chazal want a person to have Shalom Bayis, want a person to have a very happy and successful marriage. And therefore, if the child feels that to get that Shalom Bayis, to have that happy, successful marriage, they want to marry that particular person, then the parent cannot go against that because it's tantamount to the parents telling the child to transgress either Deraisa or Drabona. And the third svara is that Kibud Av V'Em, importantly, is only for the personal welfare of the parents. Kibud Av V'Em does not mean that you can instruct the child to live the life that you want them to live. It doesn't mean that you can necessarily tell the child they have to be a lawyer, a doctor, a rav, or whatever it may be. The child, of course, can make those decisions themselves. It's very wise and sensible to consult with parents. And when I give these shiurim to the students, of course, I mentioned to the boys and to the girls that it's very wise and sensible to sit down with parents. Parents, of course, hopefully want their children's best interests, and they know the children better than the children often know themselves. But ultimately, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that in the case of Torah, in the case of marriage, ein leitzarich l'shmoya el ha'av. However, two caveats to that. One caveat is an interesting and well-known netziv. The netziv says that parents can protest if the marriage will cause shame and embarrassment to the parents. he bases on the lav or a makle of a vitimoy, that if this particular choice of marriage partner will cause shame and embarrassment, then the parents can protest. The examples given are hard to think of and interesting to think of, but one example could be that, let's say the child chooses to marry the daughter of a head of the mafia in Italy, Jewish, of course. Or what if the child is converted and the father is, the local priest? That could be objective embarrassment, maybe. If the embarrassment is subjective, then the child will not have to worry about that. So, for example, if the parent says that I don't want you to marry this person because, let's say, he wants to join the father-in-law, he's the head of the mafia, then I can understand that's subjectively embarrassing. But if, for example, the parents say, I don't want you to become a Rav, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with being a Rav, of course. And therefore, that's their subjective analysis of it. And therefore, one can disregard that. Rabbi Yashiv also notes, it says in the halacha, which I just read, it says, in Oviv Moiche, apparently Rabbi Yashiv said, he said, state in halachim oviv moiche nishtim oviv boiche. Not if they're so distraught and they're crying, etc. But again, these are big topics and one needs to consult with a Rav who knows ideally the child and the parents so they can assess the whole situation and help in this psak. Regarding Eretz Yisrael, this is also a very interesting area of halacha. What about a child who wants to go live in Eretz Yisrael and the parents protest? What is the general broad analysis of that? So most poskim say that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael overrides Kibud Av Ve'Em, and therefore a child can move to Eretz Yisrael despite parental objection. There is a well-known Tashbetz. The Tashbetz is a Rishon, a Talmud of the Ram, and he says not. He says Kibud Av Ve'Em trumps. However, the contemporary poskim of Rabbi Yosef, for example, he says that the Tashbetz was only referring to temporarily leaving Eretz Yisrael. But he would agree that for permanent residence, then Yishuv Eretz Yisrael would override Kibud Av Ve'Em. Rabbi Yashiv interestingly says, and again it's quoted in the Sefer, that if parents are against the child moving to Eretz Yisrael because they are worried that the child's spiritual condition, his ruchnius level, will drop, then that should be reckoned with. But either way, like with all of these situations, a halachic authority should be consulted. Ideally, someone who knows the parents and the children so that they can fully assess the situation. One final point, and that is very interesting, and again, a very sensitive, delicate issue, and that is what about abandoned children or even children who are abused in some way, emotionally or some way? What is the halachas regarding Kibud Av Ve'Em? So the long and short of it is that adopted children are not obligated in Kibud Av Ve'Em. They haven't got the technical Kibud Av Ve'Em, but of course they must give respect out of gratitude for the foster parents who raised them. They continue to have an obligation of Kibud Av Ve'Em for their natural, their biological parents. Interestingly, there's a fascinating Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma says in Pashas Vayischanon, of course, the Aseret HaDibros appears in this week's Sedra, Pashas Yisro, and also in Pashas Vayischanon. And there the Meshech Chochma says, he makes an amazing point. He says, the Yerushalmi says that Kibud Av is actually a mitzvah kala. Amazingly, it's a light mitzvah because it's just repaying a debt. Now, where do parents have to work the least in respect of Kibud Av, in respect of looking after their children, I mean? The answer is the Dor HaMidbar, because there was no shopping for food. There was no cooking, there was no washing up, there was no emptying the dishwasher, there was no clothes shopping, there was no ironing and laundering. There was the mom, there was the be'er, and they covered, sort of dry cleaned all the clothes. And yet, the Dor HaMidbar says the Meshech Chochma is the time when they were told to be mechabed aves avicho aves imecho. So you see that even in the situation where parents perhaps even abandon the children or have less input in their child's growth and development, still there is a mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Em. There is a famous Gemara in Kiddushin, the sugis of Kibud Av Ve'Em, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says that Rav Dimi once was dressed in fancy, fine clothes, silk, golden clothes, and he was sitting amongst the dignitaries of Rome. Ubasu Imma, the mother came, for Karasa Mimeno, and she ripped the clothes, for Tofchala Rosha, she slapped him on the head, the Yarkala Befonim, and spat in front of him. the Lehichlima, and he didn't argue back, he didn't shout back, he didn't embarrass her. Tosfos says, so you see from there, that there is still an obligation to honor parents, even if they act inappropriately. Tosfos over there says, Yesh b'medrash ha'isim u'terefes midaita, that mother was emotionally unwell. And therefore, there is still an obligation to honor parents if they act inappropriately, even if the parents are unwell. Of course, it can be very sad and very distressing and very, very challenging. The Ravid says, but that does not apply where the parents are roye halev. There is a certain wickedness, there is abuse involved. And that's, of course, a very complicated area. And of course, one needs specific guidance from that. The Yamsha Shlema says that it's best for the child to move away to protect him or herself. So that is the long and short of it. It's a fascinating area of halacha, lots to think about. But again, it needs sensitivity and it needs specific questions for specific scenarios. One final word, and that is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Chof, in Sif Chof Aleph, what I quoted here, Mishu reitz be'emes l'chabed es aviv v'imoy. A person who really wants to honor his parents, Yasuk b'Torah v'masim tovim. He should behave in a refined way. He should busy himself with Torah and with masim tovim. Shezehu hakovet hagodl ha'ovos. That is the greatest kibud one can give parents. Sha'omrim habriyas. People will say, Ashrei la'av v'eim shegidlu ben kazeh. Happy are the parents who have raised such a child. And therefore, some interesting food for thought, lots to discuss. Anyway, please God, we'll revisit maybe some of these topics another time. But an interesting topic, parameters of Kibbutz Avim related to this week's parasha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.